And the Son, the Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit, come. Come by means of the powerful intercession of the Immaculate Heart of Mary, your well-beloved spouse. Come, Holy Spirit, come. Come by means of the powerful intercession of the Immaculate Heart of Mary, your well-beloved spouse. Come, Holy Spirit, come. Come by means of the powerful intercession of the Immaculate Heart of Mary, your well-beloved spouse. Spirit Sanctifier, Harry, I implore you, I pray you again. May your will known to all, so that by knowing it, they may live it, and may welcome your first act of their complete sanctification, which is your holy will. Mary, Seed of Wisdom, pray for us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. So today we are in the book of Adam, is August 5th, 1934, is volume 33.
Okay, August 5th, 1934. My daughter, my love makes me feel the need to speak of the creation of man. Creation is already pregnant with our love and speaks, although in silent language. And if it doesn't speak, it says it with deeds, and creation is the greatest narrator of our love toward man. And when our love had been spread over everything in such a way that no point should be found in which our love would not cover it and would race toward it, and more than sun would dart it. When in everything creation had been completed, we created man. But listen to the story of our love toward man before creating him. Our adorable majesty had established to make man king of all creation, to give him dominion over everything, and to make him master over all our works. But in order to be true king in deeds, not in words alone, he had to possess within himself all what we had scattered in creation. Thus, to be king of the sky, of the sun, of the wind, of the sea, and of everything, he had to possess inside himself a sky, a sun, and so on, and so forth, so that creation was to be reflected in him. And he, by possessing the same qualities, was to be reflected in creation and master it. In fact, if he were not to have eyes full of sight, how could he enjoy the light of the sun and take of it as much as he would like? If he were not to have feet and hands to cross the earth and take what the earth produces, how could he call himself king of the earth? If he were not to have the respiratory organ to breathe the air, how could he make use of it? And thus with all the rest. Hence, before creating man, we looked at the whole creation in our emphasis of love, and we exclaimed, "How very beautiful our works are! But among all, we will make man the most beautiful. We will centralize everything in him in such a way that we will find creation outside and inside of him. And as we went on molding him, thus we were enclosing in him the sky of reason, the sun of intelligence, the rapidity of the wind in his thinking, the extension of the space, fortitude, the dominion in the will, motion in the soul in which we were enclosing the sea of graces, the celestial air of our love, and all the senses of the body as the most beautiful blossoming. O man, how very beautiful you are! But not content with this, we put in him the great sun of our will, giving him the great gift of speech, so that he would be, in deeds and words, the eloquent narrator of his Creator. He was our image, in which we delighted ourselves to enrich with our most beautiful qualities. But not content with all of this, we were taken by such an impetus of love toward him that our immensity involved him anywhere, everywhere, and at every instant. Our all-seeingness was looking at him in everything, even in the fibers of his heart. Our power sustained him, bringing him everywhere in our paternal arms. Our life, our motion, was throbbing in his heartbeat, was breathing in his breath, was working in his hands, was walking in his feet, even to become footstool under his steps. Our fatherly goodness to hold his dear son of ours secure put him in the condition for which he would have been unable to be separated from us, nor we from him. How else could we have done that we didn't do? This is why we love him so much, because he cost us very much. We came up with all our love for him, with our power, our will. We implemented our infinite wisdom, and we only wanted for him to love us, that freely in all things he would live in our will, and that we would come, and that he would come to recognize how much we have loved him and how much we had done for him. These are our loving expectations. Who will be so cruel to want to deny them to us? But alas, unfortunately, there is who denies them to us, forming his sorrowful notes in our love. Therefore, be attentive, and may your flight and our will be continuous. Fiat.
Thank you very much. It's a beautiful passages that we have here in this book. And this one is very beautiful. And I think it's very self-explanatory, but we can go through it, the passage, and see and try to analyze it. First of all, in this passage, we see that our Lord is talking about creation, how creation is full with the love of God. The Lord uses this word, is pregnant with our love. In sacred scripture, there is a reference to this language. St. Paul tells us that all creation is waiting in expectation for the new creation in Christ. And we know that when a woman is about to give birth, there is a life inside that wants to come out. And when we encounter this kind of language, that all creation is pregnant with the love of God, is the same concept that wants to come out and embrace and encounter the creature. It wants to come out of the sun, and the sun with its light wants to say, God wants to say with that light, I love you. So it's the love of God that is inside of every element in creation, and it wants to encounter man, wants to encounter the creatures. Because of all creation, man is the crown of all creation. And all creation was made for us. So the whole creation is an expression of God's love for men, for all the human race. And when our Lord Jesus uses this language, again, there is something that is alive. The love of God is alive. And it is inside of everything in creation and wants to come out and encounter the creature. And with that silent language, the sun tells us, God tells us through the light of the sun, I love you. Through every single drop of water as it rains. God is constantly going out, seeking each one of us. But because we have that spiritual deafness that we acquire right after the fall, we are not able to hear and to recognize. Some saints that advance in holiness and union with God, they were able to recognize this and see creation as Saint Francis did. He was able to recognize that God is in all creation, and he exclaims, brother sun, sister moon, sister water, and all of that. The Catechism of the Catholic Church tells us about this reality. This is part of the doctrine. This is part of the teachings of the Church. In the Catechism, we know very well that this is what the Church teaches us. So this is a wonderful passage that allows us to go to the Catechism and see and compare how these writings, they are in tune with what the Church tells us. In 358, the Church tells us, God created everything for men. It's exactly what our Lord Jesus is telling us in this passage. And then he says, but man in turn was created to serve and love and to offer all creation back to him. In three lines, three sentences there, the Church explains us all of this, and our Lord Jesus, in a very beautiful way and in details, he tells us how. So first of all, creation is all filled with the love of God for the creature, for all of us. That when God was creating everything, he had all of us in mind, that God creates everything out of love. So then in this passage, our Lord tells us that creation narrates, is the narrator of God's love for all of us. So again, God is telling us every morning, every day as the sun rises, I love you. Yes, with the mute language of the sun, of the light of the sun, with the light of the moon, he tells us, I love you. With the light of the stars, with the blue of the sky, that's a way of God saying, I love you, I love you, I love you, I love you, I love you. Now we are able to see with these advanced telescopes and everything that the technology is allowing us to see in the space all those beautiful colors and constellations and planets and all of that, the stars. Imagine that God is telling all of us, I love you, with the sun, the colors, different colors that we have never seen before. That's how all creation is filled with the love of God for the creature, for all of us. And his love, as we know, is infinite. And we're just starting to grasp a little bit of that. So all creation is like a symphony. We look at creation is like a symphony that everything tells us, I love you. God is telling us, I love you. And there is a loving expectation that God has for all of us. It is very simple that we may recognize that love. In here, our Lord tells Luisa Picaretta the initial plan, the original plan that he established for men. He said, our adorable majesty had established to make man king of all creation, to give dominion over everything and to make him master of all our works. That was the original plan. That's what God had in mind at the beginning. And you go and read the appeal, Luisa's appeal. There is a passage also there that it tells us. Luisa explains how the original plan of God was for men. That's in Luisa's appeal. And we know that that plan that God had for men to constitute him as king of all creation and to be able to dominate everything and to be the master of all creation, and that all creation will submit to him. It was disturbed. It was taken away by the disobedience of Adam, which is original, the original sin, is the misuse of the gift that God gave to Adam. And how Adam was supposed to become the king of all creation, to have dominion everything over everything, he says, by possessing within himself all that he had scattered in creation, all that God had scattered in creation, so that man will be the reflection of all. In the volumes, our Lord Jesus explains to Luisa Picaretta that she has to go around. She has to go around and recognize everything that he has done in creation so that she will be able exactly to accomplish in herself this that Adam couldn't accomplish, so that by recognizing everything, she will have possession. She will acquire the possession by saying, I thank you, I adore you, I love you. I put my I love you in the light of the sun, in the heat of the sun, in the light of the stars. I thank you, I adore you. So that everything then will be reflected in her, and she will possess everything, and she will possess the qualities. So Adam was supposed to do this, and this is what he was doing. That's why he needed the gift of bilocation to go around and to recognize everything, and by recognizing everything, he will be filled with the light of the sun, with the beauty of the colors. His soul acquired the possession of all this. He was able to receive all this beauty, this light, this love, all these attributes of God put in creation. So he was basically harvesting everything. God planted all his love in everything in creation, and he was just harvesting that love that God put there, and he was making it his. And as he was recognizing everything, he was able to possess that light, to possess that beauty, to possess those elements, those qualities of God that they were in creation. So he really became the reflection of everything. And by doing that, he was supposed to really acquire that dominion over everything and possessing everything and really become the master of everything that is created, the master of creation. So our Lord explains, his eyes were full of light. His intellect, he was able to see through the eyes of the intellect. He was able to see through the eyes of the soul. He was able to see, to be filled with that beauty again, with those colors, with that. As he was receiving that light, he experienced that joy, that happiness, that love of God that was hidden in that. Something that because of the fall, we are not able to experience. We see the light, the sun, we see the moon, the stars, the beauty and everything. And we are able to recognize, but we are not able to see with the eyes and to feel with the soul that joy, because we were able to see those elements and that love of God through the eyes of the intellect, then simply our soul will be will cause us just to be so much happy, and for some of us even to die out of joy, just in recognizing that yes, in the sun there is the love of God there that is sustaining all creation. That without the sun, the light of the sun, the heat, and all the effects that the sun has upon the earth, then there will be simply no life. It will be total darkness. But if we were able to recognize that and to understand that through the intellect and through the eyes of the intellect, the soul, then we will be, some of us, we will even die out of joy. But Adam was able to possess this because he was in the state of grace, and he had this gift, the possession. He didn't have only the knowledge of the divine will, but he had the possession of the divine will operating in his soul, and he was supposed to grow in that likeness of God, to grow at every moment. So he had the capacity to receive that much love of God and not to die out of joy. He was able to be filled to the brim of every moment and not to die out of joy. Something that we lost. Something that we lost. And that's why we need to walk by faith now and to start doing our rounds in creation, even though we don't feel that joy that Adam feel, again, because if we were to feel that, simply we will explode and die out of joy, pure joy. But we have received the gift of faith, which is God himself, he tells us. In baptism, we have received that gift, that virtue, that theological virtue that allows us to walk And we need it when it comes to practice this way of living, to practice what we learned in the Book of Heaven, in this occasion through the Book of Adam, the passages about Adam. We have to start doing this, our rounds. We have to go around and to recognize so that creation can be reflected in us. And even though we don't see it, the last day we will be able to see it. St. Thomas Aquinas says that when we die and we have this gift of hope in us, which is given in baptism, so hope gives way to the vision of God. And then faith gives possession to that vision. So we need both. That's why we need to grow in hope, because even though we don't see it, what it happens in our soul as we go around doing our rounds, that our soul is really being filled with that light. And even when we receive the sacraments, that we are so filled with so much light that we are not able to see it. And again, if we were able to see it, we simply will die out of pure joy. You were able to see what happens to you after you receive absolution. You will die immediately out of joy, of pure joy. So as we walk in this life, we need to grow in that gift of hope, because this hope, finally, when God calls us, the hope, that virtue in us, will burn in us. And that light will give way to the vision, only to the vision. And then faith will burn. And that light will give you the possession of that eternal life. That's why St. Paul says, of these three, faith, hope, and charity, love is the only one who remains, because you will need love, because in there you just have to love God, as he says in this passage. There are loving expectations. The loving expectation that God has for us is that we may recognize him, that we may love him. So the only thing that will happen to the gift of love is that everything will be removed. We will be able to see now through the eyes of the intellect. That's why we need to practice this way that we are learning here, doing the rounds, basically going around to recognize everything that is out there in creation, and to really believe that God made all this out of love for us. And not only that, but inside everything in creation, there is a voice that says, I love you, I love you, I love you, I love you. And the only expectation that God has for us is that we may say, I love you back. Or I love you too. I thank you, in whatever way you want to express it, but to express that thanksgiving. There is a beautiful passage in the gospel, in sacred scripture, when our Lord heals the 10 lepers. As he tells them, go and show yourselves to the priest. And they go, and on the way, one of them realizes that he's been healed. He doesn't go all the ways. He turns back and he gives thanks. And the Lord says, where are the other nine? Were not the 10 that were healed? Only one came. That shows us how important it is to recognize and to give thanks to God. As long as we keep living, taking everything for granted and seeing that everything is given to us and we just take it for granted, As long as we keep taking everything for granted, we will be one of the nine lepers. We need to become the 10th, the number 10, that leper who came back. We don't want to be the one of the nine lepers. We want to be the number 10 that came back, or the number one, whatever, however you want to see it. But we need to be like him, that he came back and he recognized what our Lord Jesus did for him. And here, through these writings, our Lord Jesus is telling us in a very plain way and beautiful way. He says that in all things, the only thing that God wants is this loving recognition. These are our loving expectations, the Lord says, that we may love him back. We only wanted for him to love us. That's what the Lord says. So to recognize that he has created everything out of love for us. And as I mentioned to you, this is already what the church is telling us. This is not something new. The only new here is that we now understand how to go around and to offer all creation back to him. And it's been explained to us. So you have a chance, just try to meditate and to reflect upon that passage of the Catechism 358. And try to understand it through this passage that we read also. And so we see the initial plan of God, that he wants us to go back basically to that state of grace. And he shows us the way that we need to recognize everything. There is another part here, important element that I think we need to look at, and it's important for us to understand that this concept that our Lord Jesus tells Luisa Picarreta, that he wanted to centralize everything in Adam. And this is also what he wants to do with all of us. Remember, all that the Lord tells Luisa Picarreta here in this passage is also so that we may learn to, we may understand it, that we may practice. But our Lord Jesus, sometimes he gives definitions, and it's important for us to reflect upon those definitions when he gives it. In volume 23, December 10, 1927, our Lord gives the definition of the word centralized. And when he uses that term, then he gives the definition and what it means exactly, and he explains it. So he tells us that to centralize his whole life in the soul means that there is nothing which he does not let the soul enjoy. So we go back again to this concept that he's giving to Luisa Picarreta, that when Adam was going around recognizing everything in creation, because he had the gift of the divine will in his soul, he possessed that will, that gift. That gift kept him alive as he experienced all this love, as he received the love of God hidden in creation. Otherwise, he will have died out of pure joy. He will not be able to endure that love of God in him and to receive it and be alive. But because he had the possession of the will of God in him, there was nothing that God could not let him enjoy. So you have time also during the week, try to go and reflect upon that passage and upon that concept. And this is what our Lord wants us. Because what happens when we unite ourselves to the divine will and we unite our acts to the will of God, then the Lord is able to expand our capacity to give us more and more so that there is nothing of himself that we will not be able to enjoy in the final vision and in the possession of eternal life. So this is the place for us to work on ourselves in our spiritual life. The more acts you do united in the will of God, the more you go around creation and recognize it over and over and over and over what God has done out of love for us, the more you offer back all that creation and that love hidden in creation back to God, the more you receive the sacraments in the state of grace, the more your capacity to enjoy in eternity. And again, we don't see it because this is the effect of the fall, that we are not able to see it. That's why we need those virtues that we receive in baptism, faith, hope, and charity, and love. So then after he gives us that concept, he tells us that again he put the light of the sun. He gave light to the intellect. This is how man was supposed to be filled with the love of God. And then here he mentions that with this he was expanding that space, that capacity in him to receive. Then he mentions the virtue, the cardinal virtue of fortitude. And he tells us basically that fortitude is the dominion of the will. It's a very simple definition of fortitude. The dominion of the will. And when we are able to have dominion over our human will, then we become kings. We know how to rule ourselves. This is what Adam possessed. But he was supposed to grow more and more and more in that dominion, because remember, he was being filled at every moment. He was growing and being filled to the brim. At every moment, his capacity was expanded and increasing, just as in the Blessed Virgin Mary. She was always full of grace. She never stopped growing in that knowledge and understanding of the mystery that she was living. So this is a mystery too. And I will say that to live the mystery of the divine will, this divine science, is a mystery, the mystery of living in the divine will. Sometimes the word mystery has a not a very good connotation, but in the spiritual life, a mystery, it has a very good connotation. It's something that we cannot really understand. We believe, we know it's true, but because we are not able to understand it fully, because again, the fall, but it's something that takes us deeper into the mystery of God, of who God is. And by knowing who God is also, we also know about something about ourselves. By knowing ourselves, we grow in the knowledge of God, in his knowledge, also in his love. So is this way of living that our Lord Jesus is giving to us through these writings, yes, it's a mystery. It's the mystery of the divine science of how Adam lived, but this mystery has been unfolded so that we may understand and we may be able to arrive to the possession, because this is the goal, to possess the divine will operating in our souls at every moment, that we may become the reflection of everything that is up there, that creation may be reflected upon all of us, each one of us. And by for that to happen, we need to go around and do our rounds. If you look in the volumes in Luisa Picaretta, in the last volumes, she's just going around creation. And you read in the passages, I was doing my rounds in the divine fiat. I was doing my rounds in creation. I was doing my rounds of redemption. Sometimes she mentions by name, I was doing my rounds in creation. I was doing my rounds of redemption. And my sweet Jesus told me, and I was doing this. At the end of her life, as she understands now what the divine will is and her mission is, she's just doing rounds, 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 going constantly around, around, around. Why? Because she understands that the more she goes, then the more space she acquires for her to receive those attributes that are hidden. Because remember that love of God that is hidden in every element, in all creation, it has no end. It has no end. All of us, all the human race can go and find that love, and that love is inexhaustible. We can go all at once, all the human race at once, and still there will be enough to go back over and over and over and over and over and over and again and again and again. So this, I think this passage that we encounter here really gives us a glimpse of what we have to do, or what happens in our souls. And in a very simple way, our Lord tells us what he expects from the creature. He expects the loving recognition. These are our loving expectations, the Lord says. And then at the end, he says, who will be so cruel to want to deny to us this recognition? Who will be so cruel as to form in us those notes of sorrow by not loving us, by not recognizing? So when the Lord says to Luisa Picaretta, be attentive, and may your flight in our will be continuous. So this is what he wants us again. That's why Luisa Picaretta, in the last volumes, she is doing rounds. And by doing that she's fulfilling her call as a creature to love God, to recognize and to offer back all creation to him. You see that the plan of God has not changed. Now, from the beginning, he wanted men to have dominion over all. And that man is the crown of all creation. The Catechism also tells us this in 343. This is what the church says. Man is the summit of the Creator's work. So everything that God has created, he has done it out of love for us. And even these revelations that he is given to us through Luisa Picaretta is out of love. Why? Because his love never changes. He still wants us. He still loves us, despite what happened in the fall. He still calls us back. That's why he became man. That's why the incarnation, that's why the cross, the resurrection. So as we continue growing in the knowledge and understanding of the will of God in our lives, We have to pray to the Holy Spirit to guide us, to fill us with His grace, to give us the strength that we need, to make that gift that we are receiving confirmation, that gift of courage, grow in us, wisdom, understanding, fear of the Lord. We need those gifts to be able to live in the divine will, to be able to arrive to the possession of the will of God operating in us. So with this, we will finish today, and let us ask our Lord Jesus that through the intercession of the Blessed Virgin Mary, we may all receive the grace to grow in the knowledge and understanding of His will operating in us. And finally, we may be able to arrive to the possession of His will operating in us. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for our sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. May the Lord bless us, protect us from all evil, and bring us to everlasting life.